Start recording. So I'm sure you guys are exhausted after this whole COVID. So Lori and I both said some of you have been on those CEO, COO check-in chats and some haven't. But we thought it was important for us to get together as small agencies, execs, just to talk about what's important to you right now, what you're struggling with. Right, Lori? Do you have any?
Absolutely. No, I think that that's, you know, the issue. Like I said, I know some people have been on those chats with that, you know, there used to be 11 and 4. I think they're now just 4.
No, we're going back to 11.
Going back to the 11.
And 4. It just because Sometimes they're plenaries or who knows what, so we don't.
Right, and people have different schedules, but they've been really helpful and just kind of even being an observer, because sometimes they're talking about, you know, we're talking big agencies, but there's always seems to be something that we can pull out of that. So if you haven't signed on to those, feel free. I think they're pretty interesting. Limor, you've been on a couple, I think. I don't know if anybody else has. Jane, I think you have too. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not sure if it's, you know, issues we're all facing so many different things right now, whether it's the thought of reopening your doors, because it's not, you know, going back to work because none of us have stopped, but, you know, reopening your doors, or is it the whole diversity and that kind of stuff going on? Is it federation allocations for some? Is it, you know, there's so many things happening right now. School starting, and what does that mean for so many of our, you know, families and clients and programming. So we just wanted to kind of throw that out and see where everybody was at. If you had anything specific you were checking on. And Leah, you're not Zoom challenged. You got on just fine.
Zoom challenge. Okay, so, I'm adding names. Yeah. Add your communities to your name. Remember, just go to the three dots and rename.
Yeah, we forgot that part.
Okay, so anyone, take it away. What are people struggling with? What do people want to talk about?
Struggling with it. I need to hire a few new people, and I've been hesitant to do so because starting them in this crazy time is crazy enough, and we've got to change the way we're doing things, and I only see doing that by hiring some new people and shifting around. But I'm just, you know, like I was starting to say, just in this climate when we can't really get together and have a traditional onboarding period, I've been nervous to do so. Has anyone else hired new folks during this time? And
we haven't hired, but we're actually looking for somebody through a grant that we just got from our United Way to help with our food pantry and outreach with the EFSP program and some of that. So we know it's going to be a somewhat virtual position, and even the thought of hiring somebody for a virtual position is bizarre at this point. To, you know, how do you do that? How do you provide supervision for that? Things like that.
Yeah, we're actually just now, we have to move our offices in 2 months, and we are actually going to go to more virtual because we found that everyone's working well. And even though this onboarding and orientation time would be hard, I also know that we are going to save a ton of money in rent by doing so. So
yeah. Betsy,
we had to hire. Yeah, we had to hire, I've actually had to hire somebody. She started on March 23rd, just as we all went into lockdown here. Wow. It was just crazy. And it was a clinical social worker. So it was difficult. It's very difficult for the person coming in, because so much of what you pick up about how the organization works comes from, you know, the schmoozing you do with your colleagues and all the meetings you go to. And, you know, you pick up the culture of the organization. But but she was really a trooper. She really wanted to work for us. And we did, I met with her twice a week. She was a part-time position, 24 hours, but we met twice a week. Mm-hmm. So that, it really necessitated me being very organized, much more so than I usually am. what did she, what does she need to know? Like, what does she need to know? And to get all of the, I went into our office, you know, under very controlled circumstances and pulled out everything that I could think of that she might, you know, different forms, which of course are all online, but it was easier to kind of look at the social worker's desk and go through her files and pull everything out that she was using on a regular basis. So at least I had all of that as a guide. You know, I took, you know, she was going to be picking up clients. So I wrote, you know, I had names of clients to discuss with her. We went through the agency employee manual, you know, the how-to list, how do you get this done? How do you get that done? Who are the significant people? I mean, it really necessitated just trying not to throw it all at once at her, but letting her know that she could call me anytime. Mm-hmm. And it worked. I mean, she gradually came in, got on board. And I will say the other thing that's really helpful is having your other staff people do some outreach to this person as well, because these are her colleagues and she doesn't get a chance to schmooze with them or sit in their office or be in a meeting with them. So that outreach, she told me later, was really helpful, that they would call her and just talk.
Sure. And I'm wondering, is this person, does she, like, she's in her own island, or is she, does she have colleagues in the clinical space in your team?
So we're small. She, in terms of, I mean, the staffing, I mean, she works most closely with our nurse. We have what's called a congregational nurse who does a lot of case management with our seniors. Essentially, she is a sophisticated and well-educated case manager. So the two of them work pretty closely together. And so, okay, you know, I really had her, the two of them talk a lot, and they forged a good relationship. And when she doesn't need to call me, she knows she can call her because she's right there at the clinical, not that I'm not at the clinical level too, but it's good to have a colleague and, you know, not always your supervisor. So that was good. I actually have to hire coming up, and the thought of doing it again, it's going to take a lot of your time. You know, mm-hmm. they need a lot of nurturing, I think.
Right. It's like having a student intern in a way.
Yeah. But at least you know they're going to, you know, you hope that they're going to stay. They're not passing through.
I've heard a lot about the network that a lot of people are hiring now. You know, people are, you know, having a lot more counseling cases and workforce cases, and, you know, that's the new normal in a weird way, hiring via, you know, Zoom. You know, Lauren, hi. Did you get, were those waivers good enough for you? Did you need more?
Honestly, I haven't had a time to look at them on the what is up there. But it's on my agenda for this week. So I thank you for pointing me out.
Is that how everyone is? It's on my agenda for this week. You guys are so busy. It's so hard now, right? Busier than ever, I bet.
Yeah, it's been a tough job. I mean, I unfortunately have not been able to go to the check-in call since the very beginning, but I am. Yeah, it's been a difficult juggle, and we are providing some face-to-face services. So what we're hoping to be able to do is to ramp those up a little bit, but in the face of rising cases in our county, it just, it is so many different factors to navigate and to weigh. And because we're serving a vulnerable population, and they're vulnerable if we provide service and if we don't. Mm-hmm. so it's just been, I'm white.
And Lauren, how did you roll that out?
How do we roll that out? So we developed a set of protocols working with an infectious disease doctor. And also just, you know, I spent a lot of time scouring the web, and particularly the CDC, for, you know, what best practices were, what requirements were. When we rolled out our personal care program again, that was May 18th, we started that. So it was in a different phase of the disease and around the country, the state of public health. And it was at a different, you know, Alabama, of course, was one of the first states to reopen, and our clients were declining. So we really wanted to get back in there. So we stuck with the, you know, the main tenets of the CDC, which is wear a mask, wash your hands, and maintain a social distance. And so everything we've done in our office with and with our clients has centered around those three things. So we have a rotating schedule for our office staff. Everyone comes in 2 days a week unless they've made other arrangements with their supervisor for whatever reason they want that they're not going to be coming in. We only have one staff person who's chosen not to come into the office at all. She's a therapist, so she's doing everything via Zoom, and it has worked well, and she's been able to get her productivity up, and it's been great. And everybody else is coming in twice a week, and we all, when everybody came back, they got a care package that had a bottle of hand sanitizer and spray and wipes and, you know, stuff like that, and a gift card to Starbucks to go through the drive-thru. You know, we're doing the best we can, essentially.
Do you have anything written down to what you would do or what you need to do if you will have exposure in the office?
So we have exposure protocols in place, and we have had one of our attendants, our personal care attendants, have an exposure, not through work. Mm-hmm. And this happened, I guess it's probably 2 weeks ago now. And, you know, of course, immediately we took her out of the work. You know, she began her self-quarantine. It actually took us, I can't remember how, several days to get her a test. Her results came back fairly quickly. Her results took 2 days. But ultimately, by the time we had a result, which was negative, thank goodness, really, her 2 weeks of quarantining were over. Mm-hmm. We did not alert clients during the period of time. If she had come back positive, of course, we would have gone to any client she had seen between the known exposure and the results of the test, which would have been 4 clients. We're only seeing 1 client per day, which is not sustainable financially. We're paying all of our staff full time, regardless of how many hours they're working.
How long are you going to do that, Lauren?
I don't. That's a damn good question, Lisa.
That's what people are struggling with, because
right,
how can you afford to pay someone if they're not doing work?
Right. So the PPP enabled us to carry through, I think it was the first week of June, with little or no concern. And we were really fortunate. We had our major fundraiser scheduled for April the 2nd. We had done all of our fundraising and most of our collections before we stopped operating face-to-face services on March the 15th. Mm-hmm. And so not one of those donors has asked for their money back. Not one of our grant funders has asked for their money back. So we're financially, we're in a pretty good position to carry on through the end of the year. But we're antsy about it. I mean, we're really, our productivity level amongst all of our staff is way, way down. It takes 15 minutes to have a phone call with someone who you would normally spend an hour in their home, you know, plus travel time. So it's not like our phones are buzzing off the walls.
Right.
So it's really been just a weird balance of things.
Yeah.
So there you have my, now that I've, blah.
Just sharing.
What?
thanks for sharing.
Sure. Yeah. Thanks for being my support group.
Anyone else started doing it?
A lot.
Clients into the office?
I'm sorry, what, Betsy?
I was just curious, is anybody having clients in the office? No, I'm okay.
We
are not. I'm just curious. Yeah.
We're actually starting more so with with immigration legal services. So that's a little bit different because there's paperwork that needs to be signed in person, and working with interpreters over it's just so many layers that to have everybody virtually is sort of nightmarish. So we're just starting, and everyone has to wear a mask. It has to be in a conference room. We bought the clear plastic barriers to go on the table with the little slot at the bottom so the piece of paper can go through. The barrier is wide enough. So you could have a couple on one side of the barrier and then the staff person on the other. And then we will have the interpreter over the phone. Because again, I'm not having that many people in a room, but it's just, we've discovered for legal services, it's with our clients not having, you know, not being particularly computer savvy, it just was, there was no way it was going to work. But we're just starting that. And in terms of client, we don't do therapy, we do case management, but not therapy. So most of the case management we can do virtually. And on a very in a couple of cases, we've actually had a staff person go out to a client's home, and then generally we try and have them meet outside.
Right.
Well, and again, wearing the mask. So we're doing as much as we can, but we have clients who can't really hear very well. So, you know, it does mean then the 6 feet plus apart in person, or if they have to be closer, wearing an N95 mask. And it's not often, it's really not often, and I'm not making staff people do that, but, you know, when we have some clients who in person is the absolute only option.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing what all of you have done, you know, so innovative and so quickly, you know, getting that plastic glass. I remember Lori, one of the very early CEO, COO check-in calls, talked about when you drove that you found the plexiglass like taxis and you got a great deal on it. And so many other agencies heard that and then looked into their, you know, respective plastics companies to do the same.
Oh, if anyone has another idea, that's illegal in our state.
Oh, well, every state, I guess, is different.
Which we learned because we checked into it and we would need to get special dispensation by DMV and decided that was not happening. So we're curious about what other places are using if they can't put the hard plastic between the front and the back.
Hmm. Are you allowed to have any kind of barrier, or can you do like a clear sheeting?
That's what we're looking into now, because some other countries, they tend to use the plastic sheeting, because I get in Wisconsin, they're concerned about airbags and the plastic barrier being in the way. So you can have a cargo van, but not with passenger seats in the back. Again, things none of us needed to know before COVID.
It's just amazing what people are doing. I don't know what's happening in New Mexico or Iowa or, you know, Asheville, North Carolina. And I really want to hear about Greenwich. Hello. What are people struggling with? Or want to talk about?
Mexico, we're just so small. There's just 2.5 of us, basically, 1.5, even though I'm the director. But we also hired someone just before this. It was her 4th week when we went into stay at home. So that's also been just super time intensive. There's no other real way to say it. Lots of time writing long emails, detailed, you know, instructions, and lots of time on the phone. But just, I think our main piece that we've just tried to be really flexible around is just the emotional state of all of our clients and the isolation, as you all know. We're not doing any face-to-face, but we've done, I happen to have it here, I'll show you. We did this care package to everyone. I don't know what funding you all have, but we did a little note from us, and then we did, I found these adorable gratitude journals, and we sent it, and then this list of, oh, I have it over here, but a list, I taped it up for myself, a list of self-care ideas I found on Etsy. Someone sent it to us, and then we did our mailing for all the clients and also some big donors, and planning that's a stocking, and with some postcards that we'll pre-stamp, and then they can send to others to feel like they're helping others as well. Those are just, that's something we've done, you know, setting up more phone companions. We're looking into tablets. I actually was going to, I saw Lee Moore, you had put something at some point, so I was going to connect with you, but it's just been very challenging. I think we're spread really thin, and also just basically trying to focus on the areas that we really can help, which I think is lessening some of the isolation. Like we sent for our Holocaust survivors, we found this, there's this European grocery store, and we called the woman, and she put together these gorgeous baskets. And we have very few survivors, so we were able to have her, she delivered 7, these gorgeous, like, I mean, the response world. So trying to do the little things, which is basically all we can do for ourselves too. Focusing on what we can do and trying to do it well and flexibly. And other than that, it's very challenging.
Well, Erin, that's a good mantra, focusing on what we can do, right? And doing it well. Rachel, yeah.
I can follow up with that. I'm sorry I came in a little late, but everything I heard so far, I empathize with in every way. Over in Greenwich, so we've actually had a handful of staff, that which includes some of our contract therapists, who have been toying with wanting to go back into the office. But here in Connecticut, you know, there's still some pretty, rigid regulations. So if we were to have anybody in the office at all, the therapist and the client would have to wear a mask. So, you know, everybody thinks it's okay if you're 6 feet apart, but in Connecticut, you know, they're saying that you just still have to wear a mask. So we have been doing a handful of sessions outside. We have a little garden and a picnic table. So we got a new umbrella, and we've been doing that for a handful of sort of our adolescent clients who just were Zoomed out. And it's been working really well. And we definitely feel more comfortable with that because they can space themselves out properly. And we do have, Lisa, you'll like this, the divorce group is meeting in person in that same garden.
Nice.
So they bring like their own lawn chairs so they can space themselves apart. So we felt good about that. I have to throw a positive in though. If there was one positive in all of this, we were running out of office space for our therapy program. And so, you know, we were like sort of in a desperate mode of trying to figure out how we were going to accommodate all of the clients and the therapists. And what's fantastic is we don't have to worry about any scheduling because everybody's Zooming, you know, we're right. Using Doxy. So our therapists are pretty happy because they make their own schedule. They don't have to worry about, you know, booking a room. And we've had the lowest missed session rate since since I've started there. So, that, you know, there's a few positives to pull from this, which has been great. Our biggest challenge has been technology in that we are all using our own laptops.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually just purchased a few new desktops about 6 months ago, and I was so excited to be able to do that. And now all of a sudden, you know, everybody needs a laptop, for which it's just not in the budget. So that's sort of our biggest struggle right now as individual people's laptops are dying or having issues, the cost to fix them has become, you know, sort of a real issue for us.
Can they bring their desktops to their homes?
It's a real production, and it would cost like hundreds of dollars because they have to then set it up in the person's home and make sure they have a modem and a this and a that, and, you know.
Right.
It, it's sort of beyond, you know, me. I don't understand all of it, but I do know that the setup fee is, you know, upwards of like $500 for them to pick it up and take it. Even if we were to drop it off, and then you might as well just buy a laptop for that. So yeah, that's sort of been a big struggle.
What so about by the way, we did find that Dell has a refurbished website that it's for computers that are off lease, that they often have really big sales, and we've been able to get everybody a laptop at our office, and none of them cost more than like $275.
Wow.
They're not top of the line, I mean, but they have enough RAM, which is what we cared about, and they work. We were lucky that we had already been in the process of switching to laptops for everyone for different reasons than why we need them. But that was something that we had already found. And it's the website is actually dellrefurbished.com in case anyone is interested.
I want to ask a question about having your own laptop versus the office. We also have several people who have their own laptops or computers at home and have been using those, and then others who have work laptops. But we're now concerned about, you know, the liability of having client files or information, work stuff on their personal computers versus work. Has anyone else run into that or have a policy on that?
You're muted, Betsy. You're muted. Betsy, you're muted.
I'm sorry. I thought I unmuted. I'm really glad you brought it up because I kind of have bad dreams about that. Like, I'm really worried about all of our HIPAA compliance with all kinds of computers and different systems. And somebody was saying, I don't really understand the security end of all these things. I mean, I can do the privacy end of HIPAA pretty well, but I'm really unsure about liability and what, who can be hacked and who can see this stuff. It really, it wakes me up at night sometimes. So if anybody has any policies or anything about that, I would really appreciate, you know, hearing about it.
In the resource library, there are a lot of different kinds of policies like that in the IT affinity group.
Thank you.
You know, I do the same thing with the IT affinity group, and they're very scared about that too, because, you know, they really recommend everyone getting cell phones that are work related, because there's all issues with texting. You're not allowed to text, you know, all sorts of things. You're not, if you lose your phone, you know, anyone can hack into it, all those files, because a lot of people have their email on their phones. So there are some real security issues around that. And, you know, Rachel, maybe you do, you know, buying those laptops is a good idea. So I know you don't have the money, but if you can get it through Dell 200, I don't know, it's cheaper than 500 to set it up.
I do wonder if there's any grants right now, emergency grants that are more for technology, because everybody needs suddenly. You know, we went to DocuSign and said, oh, it's okay, we'll send a couple forms a month, but we already reached our quota for the year in 2 months. So those are things that you have to really have the ability to pay for. But right. I will say as well, we have laptops that are from work. So I think in that way, that kind of really does reduce your liability. But we also use SharePoint from Microsoft. So that's basically, everybody can continue updating everything on that drive and it gets synced. So that way nothing really has to be saved on their laptop. Now, everybody has very different kind of technological skills. So I think some of our staff still save stuff on their desktop. And then it brings back again the worry as to what that means in terms of security, but at least it reduces that.
Interesting. Jessica, you're nodding your head a lot. What's happening in Asheville?
Oh my gosh. Well, listening to Rachel talk, I hear a lot of similarities. Everything from this has eased our space crunch in our office. We were struggling with the same thing with our growing mental health program. And now that is no longer a worry. For the time being. Also, our missed appointments have gone down. I think my finance person told me they were at 20% for the month. 20% of appointments were missed, booked appointments were missed previously. Now they're down to 10%. And we're finding that clients really like being in their homes. But what we're seeing now is just really some of the issues that have always been here have now really been exposed. So our technology issues, same thing. And everyone calls me. So I am the one who is the contact with our IT person, who is, I'm sorry if there are any IT people on this call, but he's kind of a typical IT guy. If you don't understand it, then there's something wrong with you. And so there's like the back and forth with the technology and then the snarkiness. Mm-hmm. I'm so sorry. If there's anyone who's married to an IT person, I'm sorry. But, you know, and I'm also struggling with staff. I've got a case manager I have to hire and a LCSW therapist to hire. And I'm just not really feeling it from my staff. I got my board to give me a little bit of like a staff appreciation slush fund. So I've been sending them gift cards to restaurants. And some of them I don't hear back from, like a thank you. Mm. Was able to give them a little bit of cost of living going into the new fiscal year. And, you know, just I think 2%, but it was something. And when I told them that on a staff Zoom meeting, it was like total silence, no reaction in their faces. One person said thank you, but no one else really said anything. And so that, for me, I'm new. I just passed my first year here as an executive director at all. So that has been kind of like a personal, I've been taking it a little personally, I guess. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what we've been dealing with. And then I also have a board. They're very, very supportive, but I feel like they're home. They don't have a lot to do. And they're asking me to spend a lot of time on strategic planning. I'm asking them to, you know, spend a lot of time helping me do fundraising.
Right.
And, you know, I've had some, not pushback, but, you know, they're not really taking the fundraising part of it urgent. I think there needs to be some urgency and they don't really see that. So that's been a struggle.
So Jessica, you've got a lot of different things. You know, one is the staff, you know, are your staff getting burned out? You know, do you feel that same way? I don't know if other people have that. Are boards stepping up and fundraising? And it's really interesting. They want you to do strategic planning because this is like such a time of unknown. I mean, what are you planning? You know, what's happening tomorrow, let alone, you know, 5 years from now?
So yeah.
Anyone wants to respond to any of that. And Leah, we want to hear from you because Leah runs a food pantry. And I am sure after we talk about this, that you've always been at work, right? You haven't stopped.
Yeah, we haven't. Thanks, Lisa. Yeah, we're a food pantry. We have a very small staff. There are 7 of us. I basically chained everyone to their desks and said, you cannot see anybody except your immediate families and us. Because if, God forbid, one of us gets sick, 1,200 families go without food. And fortunately, everyone bought into this and has been really good. We had to switch to a deliveries-only system because, obviously, Michigan, our governor, was really, really strict. And she didn't want anyone leaving the home. And frankly, we got that. I mean, I agreed with that because who are our clients? They're vulnerable older people. I didn't want them going out. I didn't want our volunteers, who primarily were our older retirees, getting sick. And I didn't want the staff getting sick. So getting through Passover was a huge relief. That was keeping me up big time. We had someone after Passover who came in and said she felt chilled. We immediately sent her away and said, don't come back until you have a negative test result. We take our temperatures every day. we are all in the office. When we are speaking to each other, we're wearing masks, but all of us have our own kind of space. And obviously wearing a mask 8 hours a day is not desirable, so I don't enforce it for that perspective. I wanted to address one of the ways we also reached out to our clients and volunteers, because for many of our volunteers, they enjoyed their experience at Yadas, or it became kind of a social event. You know, they would come here, they would kibitz with the other volunteers, they kibitz with the clients, complain about the weather, whatever. And this is obviously very isolating. Typically in May, we host our volunteer board appreciation dinner. So obviously that wasn't happening. So what we did instead was we bought a number of treats, like sparkling grape juice and some fresh fruit and some tea cookies, and we packaged it together. We sent all of our regular volunteers a certificate in appreciation for their efforts and saying, in lieu of having the volunteer dinner this year, we are going to provide this bag of treats for all of our client families, because they really didn't think the volunteers needed another tchotchke. And in the client bags were notes printed in English and Russian, because we have a large Russian population, saying the reason you are getting this is an appreciation of our volunteers. It's a way to kind of bridge together. You know, what keeps me up at night? Frankly, it's how do I keep the momentum up? You know, things are okay now. We got our mojo. We're doing 50 deliveries a day, thanks to volunteer drivers. But this isn't ending.
Right.
And as the weather starts to get bad again in Michigan, we only have about 3 months of nice weather. What's going to happen? So, you know, that's where I am.
Okay, so we have a lot of topics. Anyone can respond to any of them, whether it's staff morale, how do we keep our mojo, how do we keep our energy up, how do we deal with boards, and anything else anyone wants to say. Jody or Sean, let's hear from everybody.
Just in terms of staff morale, JFS, I'm a part of the Federation, and we're a teeny tiny portion, and we don't do direct service. We do supportive stuff for seniors, but I also have a responsibility to the larger Federation, sort of just employee morale. We've been doing things like we moved our staff meeting to 4 o'clock on Thursday, and that is our happy hour. So you're allowed to have a cocktail during staff meeting on Zoom, and I would say that has been, staff love it, and it's actually become sort of fun. Like, so what concoction did you come up with this week? We've also done things like everybody choose their three favorite songs, submit them anonymously, and then we all try and figure out who did what songs. We have different categories. One of our people put together a playlist on Spotify of all the songs. We've just done little things like that. I have also done gift bags for them, sort of what Jessica was talking about, with maybe a beverage, some snacks, just some like personal care fun stuff for them that we give to them. And I just make sure I check in with all of them personally at least every other week, just to see how are they doing, what really is going on. One thing I have noticed is nobody's taking vacation. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, including myself. And so I have really encouraged people, just because you can't go somewhere, maybe you really do just need a day off. You know, you can't work 40 hours a week just for always, especially under the kind of stress. And of course, we have staff who have children who are at home now because their kids aren't at school. And that's really hard on them. So just in terms of staff support, that's what I've been trying to do. Some similar stuff with our senior clients is, you know, we can't see them, but we are now doing weekly kosher meal deliveries. We generally only do those once a month. So at least we're able to put eyes on them, phone conversations, little gift packages in the mail. We have children from our preschool who are doing like pictures that they paint, and then I mail them to our senior clients. So really just generally trying to keep in touch with people as best we can.
And to do positive things for them, make them feel that, you know, they're important and that you're thinking of them. That's important.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
like Jody, we're part of our federation as well. And we, what our federation has started doing is the same weekly happy hour, but they've also done a thing with Kahoot. You've got young kids. I know that a lot of the young kids do that for school, but it's a game. And especially when we're all spread out and not together, it, you can pick different topics. Like Lori showed up late for this meeting because A, she doesn't like you people. B, she was doing 10,000 other things. C, there was a crisis. Or D, she was having a drink. And you're, everybody on there has to tap what they think it is, and then the answer pops up. So it makes it, I saw your faces laugh. So, I mean, it just makes it right. Kind of fun and somewhat interactive, because that's the other thing with all these Zooms and whatever. They're not always interactive. It's, you know, you're listening. You may get a word in. You may not. You may do like what I did to poor Lee Moore earlier and step right on her when she was trying to bring something up. So, you know, it's one of those kind of things. So, and for Jessica, it sounded a lot like staff is so burnt out right now, if they're not even acknowledging, you know, what you've done, because it sounds like you've really gone above and beyond into the wall for them, getting them their, you know, the cost of living and little gift cards kind of thing. Like they're just so, they don't know which way they're going, you know, just burnt out. Our federation kind of mandated for the month of July that everybody take off on Fridays. They asked us, well, one Friday was 4th of July. Then they asked us to take two of our vacation days as that, which some people and about, and then they gifted two vacation days so that everybody just took the day off, and there weren't emails from other people. There weren't anything, because no Zoom meetings, no nothing. And I mean, I was working from home. I didn't, okay, no big deal. I'll still do what I normally do. I totally disconnected.
Mm-hmm. And you needed it. Totally.
And it was, I felt like I was someplace else. Like I had gone to my happy place in Aruba or something for the day. Mm-hmm. Because there was nobody chiming in, no texts, no nothing from anybody. So it was really nice, because our staff is, you know, they're concerned because, again, nobody's taken vacation. And is everybody going to want to take their vacation in December? Is everybody going to be out of the office? So people are, you know, really worried about that, too.
A lot of agencies have mandated that people take vacations, you know, over the summer, because once, you know, September rolls around, you know, everyone thinks people are, kids are going back to school, whatever, you know, it's much harder. So a lot of agencies have done that. I think it's a good idea, especially for all of you. If you haven't taken vacation or a Monday and Friday off, it's time. You know, it's too much.
Yeah, Lori, I really like that idea of the agency sort of splitting it with staff. I think that's something we might want to talk about here.
Yeah, it was really, I was really surprised, but they just said, you know, 2 days for everybody, and that's Federation staff and JFS staff. Mm-hmm. Just take care of yourself and take the day off.
Well, it sounds so, it just sounds weird, but working from home is exhausting. And I really, I see that on our Zoom calls every Thursday afternoon, how just tired and just worn out people look. They're working harder, or at least as hard. And it's just the frustration of you don't have what you need, and you have to, I mean, our building is still open enough that you could go in and grab something. So you don't have everything you need, or this is just, it's just a frustration so often. I really like that idea.
And I think compounding that sometimes too is the frustration with the technology, because we do have people on different devices, and I don't know how to really tell them. So like Jessica said, I have to call the IT people, and sometimes they're really good and sometimes they're, it doesn't help. And it's like everything is just harder to do. And I know sometimes by the end of the week when I hit a technology snag, I'm just done. I just can't summon the energy
Yeah.
Fight with
I was near tears one day. Yeah. I was near tears one day when my remote connection went down. I just thought I can't take one more thing today. Everything just takes more.
It does. It's very draining. It's yeah.
John, did you want to tell us anything about Orange County, New York?
I think we're kind of, in the same boat that everyone else is. I mean, one of the things we were able to do from a positive side when this very early on, and we're separate from our federation and we get funding through them, but we are separate. I called them and said, why don't we do a food drive and just kind of see if we can help anybody? Well, it turned into actually us operating an emergency food pantry, which we somewhat closed down June 30th. And we did over 14,000 meals.
Wow.
And, non-perishable type stuff, all using volunteers, deliveries, that type of thing. It was just almost a 24-hour.
I was going to say, did you sleep?
Operation. It was good that we were able to do it, but at the same time, it was very frustrating understanding all of the insecurities that are out there. We still have it semi-operational. We get what we're going to do now is only take referrals through our local office for the aging for seniors. And what they'll do is they'll actually pay for a bag of groceries. They've seen a 50 to 70% increase in their meal program. And they just can't meet all the need right away. So this kind of will bridge that gap a little bit. So in a positive way, that was very good. We have a small staff. There's only 10 of us, comparative to 300 volunteers that we work with. And we lost a significant amount of volunteers who just kind of all are on a hiatus until further notice. So that's been somewhat of a struggle and kind of we're kind of restarting it, to be honest with you, an old-fashioned recruitment drive and just going to different areas. The difficulty is there's no public areas to go to right. to find people. Yeah. But, we're trying, to do what we can. I think, other than the financial piece, which is, always a question, going forward, the requirements that we have to meet with our volunteers who drive neighbors. Technically, by definition and by law, we will have to give them cleaning supplies to clean their cars. A small bottle of cleaning supplies now is triple the amount of what it was 6 months ago, times that by 300 people. That was not in our budget to begin the year.
That's right.
So it's a significant, that we're looking at. So it's definitely something that we're looking at and seeing what we can do. Going forward.
So where are you fundraising? How are you doing it? How are you going to get the money?
Well, gone to my board. So we're trying to see if we can put a virtual fundraiser together, either through silent auction or something like that, to see if we can get some additional funds to do that and seeing what happens. Unfortunately, we had to cancel two fundraisers.
Yeah.
One was a mini golf outing, which is our signature event that we do every year. And we had to cancel that. So that's, I think the major concern that we have right now is, what's to come, our neighbors are going to the doctors and we have doctors calling us saying, hey, is this person ready to come in? Because they had to cancel so many appointments. The doctors want them to come in so they can start billing again, but when they get there, they're like, okay, well, we hope to see you again, but this is all coming back in the fall. So they're walking out, I think, more nervous now than they were before, because of, just this unknown. It's like, walking across the bridge and you're halfway there. Right. You don't know what's on the other side, though, and I think that's kind of where we are.
Sean, how long have you been in your job there?
It will be 1 year August 1st.
So you and Jessica are similar.
Yeah.
In your year.
Mm-hmm. Right. So I walked into... starting a brand new program to a pandemic, which is great. It's how every exec should walk into a job.
Right. But everyone did walk into this pandemic.
Yeah.
What do we do?
and so much of it has been on the fly.
It's been right. But all of you have really made it successful. You've come up with creative, innovative ideas. I mean, you know, do you ever think about that and tap yourselves on the back? Because it's really hard to be number one, you know, no matter what size agency, it's hard. And you all are doing it, and I'm so impressed. And I don't know how, you know, I was in Rachel's position, and I think it would have been really hard to, you know, step up, step in. You have to summon all of your strength, and you have to give all of your strength to your staff, right? You have to be so present for everyone else. So I commend all of you, and hope that you feel good about what you've done.
The other thing I want to throw out, because we're starting to see that, it's not so much our clients, and maybe this is something, Jessica, that goes back to your board question, but saying, well, when are you going to get programs going again? When are you going to start having congregate lunch sites again? When are you going to pull your Holocaust survivors together for a lunch program or to take them to the movie theater? And I'm thinking, nope, not happening, you know, but they're doing it. The lay people are getting together with their friends and letting their kids get together and doing a high school graduation on the football field and claiming that they're social distance, but then posting pictures of, you know, all 10 kids with their arms around each other on the same football field. And it's, you know, you just sometimes want to go stay in your lane. Let me do what I'm doing and you do what you're doing. But obviously we know we can't do that to our volunteers all the time. So is anybody else seeing that or getting pressure to do that?
Or getting pressure to come back to work, to do things, to bring programs together. Is that what you're asking?
More programs, because again, you know, our staff, other than me, everybody's been in the office the whole time. They've never not been in the office. But we're not letting clients come in, and we're not, you know, we're doing our congregate lunch program virtually. We're doing, you know, case management, you know, she'll meet them in the parking lot or, you know, leave it in a mailbox. I'm having somebody come here in a half an hour for me to notarize a document for them. You know, little things, you know, things like that. But we're not pulling together 50 seniors to come and have lunch together.
Jessica was going to respond. What were you
going to say? Did I jump in? I'm sorry.
Jessica can talk after you. Yeah.
Okay. So we're just starting a few things in a very small way because same thing, people are clamoring to get together and we're really worried about some of our seniors with isolation. So we're having a small ice cream social, but everyone will be distanced and our staff are like going to be the police of mandating people are farther apart. They have to wear their masks until they start eating and then put them right back on. And again, sitting, everyone's bringing their own chairs, their own waters, I think. Maybe we're providing bottles of water, but it's all not like your typical scoop out, like individual pre-packaged stuff. Mm-hmm. And we'll see how that works. And then we're having also a socially distanced walk around this pond that we do again, but they have to agree to be wearing their masks, even though they're going to be walking outside. And then today I got a request from one of my staff who meets with, again, significantly older adults. She was meeting on their porches, but it's super hot here right now. And they asked to go inside. And I said, you know, if everyone's wearing their mask and keeping as far distant as you can, just for that safety of the client, and they need this support, you know, it's okay. But maybe we can try rescheduling and doing it in the early evening. You know, if that was, because this woman can't do mornings because of her son. So I don't know if it's the right thing to do or not. And, you know, just like balancing. I don't know.
I know it's something. So we're very small. It sounds like we're more like New Mexico. You know, there's three of us full time and three part time drivers. And we're mostly case management, not therapy. And so we've done, our two of us are in because of the transportation program doing medical, but our social worker is staying home because we're not seeing people face to face. And we're part of an integrated federation. And we've had family members from outside the area ask if we could visit their loved ones in nursing homes when that opens up. But the parameters around that are they need to be outdoors, right, and socially distanced and masks. And we are in a hot spot. We are spiking. We are in our scale in Ohio, a red. We're one step away from alert. And it's really hot. And I have said to our social worker, we've had the conversation, the answer is no. You know, for a lot of our people who are in nursing homes, it would be more for the family member than for that person. It would not have quite the same impact. I would hate to put either of them at risk. And the air quality is very poor and it's very hot. It just, across the board, for what would be gained versus the risk, it's not worth it. You know, they're hard decisions and for each person it's gonna be individual based on the relationship with the client versus the family versus what's going on right now. And so for each person, we're having that conversation, you know, would our visit truly have an impact on the person that we're gonna put through that routine? And right now the answer has been no. Maybe it'll change for a specific person. But right now we're holding back just because we are in the red and I would hate for us to be the ones to bring something in. It's and so we'd hate scary. To bring them out in this awful heat and poor air quality. So it's so tough.
Next time.
Yeah.
Jessica, what were you gonna say?
Oh, just that we actually are not getting any there's been no push from the board to for us to be back working in the office. I think the board knows that we are in very close quarters in our office. We are on top of each other. I share my office with someone. So, you know, there's no way we could be in the same, we couldn't be here at the same time. But the interesting thing is that I've heard from a lot of people about how COVID will be like transformational for the organization. And for us, I think that's going to happen because we're going to have to move our group respite program out of our office. Now that space where we were holding that program is way too small to do any social distancing. So we reached an agreement with one of our synagogues. So we're going to move that program there to one of their social halls. And that means that we have 400 square feet in our office that's not being used at all. And so what's the sense of staying in this space if we have so much square footage that's not being used that we're paying for? So we may end up moving the whole agency out, especially where we've converted to telehealth for our counseling program. And the urgency, like Rachel said, you know, there's this fight over office space, that's not really gonna happen anymore, I think. So we may end up moving completely out of here. You know, I'm not gonna miss these lovely wood panels, as you can see. But I think we'll end up somewhere else. And that's gonna be a huge change for us.
Well, Jessica, it sounds like you've been doing a little bit of strategic planning.
Yes, that's a whole other committee.
Yeah.
The moving committee is a whole other committee.
Well, there's a lot going on in all of these agencies and there are a lot of moving parts. And, you know, we have a meeting that's scheduled for, I think, September, right? I'm going to look it up right now, Lori. But today we had this very exciting call earlier. Lori was on it.
Yep. I was just going to talk about that.
Okay. Talk about it.
Well, it was the network's strategic planning committee, and one of the key things that we talked about were the conferences and how much we all enjoy the conferences and look forward to them. Sometimes we haven't always been able to attend because of costs and things like that, and that it hasn't gone to the board yet, but we're proposing that we do the conferences for 2021, both the exec conference and the annual conference virtually. And we want to really try and get representation on the planning committee for both of those, both the execs conference and the annual conference, from all the affinity groups. So if anybody from this small affinity group would be interested in doing that, let you know me know, let Lisa know, whoever, because it's, you know, we're looking at it being in April, and while it seems like, oh, April, so far away,
here
we're gonna blink, unfortunately. And who knows what roller coaster ride we'll have been on, having gone through the holidays and winter and cold and another whatever, who knows what. So if anybody's interested, because each of you bring so many ideas, and that's one of the things I love about this. We didn't have an agenda today, we just threw it out, and the variety of things you guys all were able to share with us in each other was amazing. You know, whether it's from how you reopen, how you do, you know, in-person events, to how you, you know, make this work still from home, and plexiglass up for legal things. I mean, we've learned everything. So please let me know, or Lisa, of course, but we'd love to see some representation on there from the small agencies. Did I forget anything, Lisa?
Well said, perfect. Okay. And our next meeting is scheduled for the 21st of September. And I think that's before the Jewish holidays. So that's a good,
that right? Should work.
Yeah. So I don't have to say Shana Tova in July. No.
Yeah.
Okay, no, so no. Great. Keep in touch. Different. Need us for anything, right? We're here.
Yeah, let us know. And thank you guys all so much.
COO check and chats.
Okay, take care.
Bye.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.